Perkinalef opens up. Ve'al nachas ha'amini. Ve'ichan al yovish gilad. Ve'yem kol anshe yovish el nachas krothon revis of nabdecha. Nachas ha'amini. Nachas was the king of Amin. His name was Nachas, which the literal word in Hebrew means snake. Not exactly the best name, I would think. In any case, he was jealous of Saul. He was he was not exactly happy about the fact that the Jewish people had now had a king. So he was now going to go ahead and provoke the Jewish people by attacking the people of Yavesh Gilad. Yavesh Gilad were the it was the place where the Jews from Shevet Binyamin went to marry women from, because after the whole story of Pelegish Bagiva, none of the Jewish people wanted to marry into the tribe of Binyamin, and so they went to marry the people of the women of Yavesh Gilad. And therefore, Nachash Ha'amini, Nachash decided to attack these people first. Now, these people did not want to start a fight with Nachash Ha'amini. They were afraid to be defeated in battle, so they go over to him and tell him, listen, we're willing to worship you, we're going to be slaves to you, just, you know, we'll pay taxes, whatever you want. Just don't kill us. We don't wage war with you. Tell us what you want, and we'll give it to you. That's what they're offering. Now, what does Nachash do? Well, Nachash was a very cruel king. So what is the offer that he gives to them? I will seal a deal with you. This is the... We're now signing the treaty of Risai. Now, there's two explanations. Either he's actually literally asking them to blind their right eye. Everyone should blind their right eye, every person. Or he's actually asking them to give him the Sefer Torah. And in the Sefer Torah, he's going to erase when it says, that a person who converted from the nation of Amin is not allowed into the Jewish people. That's what he wants to erase from the Torah, according to one pshat. That will be a disgrace to all the Jews all over. According to the second pshat, that he's actually planning to erase from the Torah what it says, Lo Amini Bikal Hashem, it means that if the Jewish people hear that the people of Yavesh Gilad were willing to give over the Torah and to erase the part of Lo Amini Bikal Hashem, then the other Jews as well, and the rest of Israel, will also be willing, because they saw that it was erased from the Torah of Yavesh Gilad. And he's hoping, Nachash Ha'amini is hoping to convince the rest of the Jews to erase it as well.
What he wanted them to be able to marry into the Jewish people.
Yeah. Yeah. It was considered to him like, oh, we're not good enough for the Jewish people. So he now wanted to erase that from the Torah, and so to speak, take that verse out of the Torah as if it doesn't exist anymore. And now anyone who wants to convert from Amin will now be allowed to be part of the Jewish people. That's what he wanted, according to one pshat. According to the other pshat, it's actually literal. He's planning to poke out the right eye of every man, which is a very cruel and ruthless thing to do, needless to say. Suppose the Gemara continues. The elders of Yavesh Gilad come over to Nachash and tell him, listen, what are you going to gain? You wanted to put a cherpa to disgrace all the Jewish people. It's not going to work if they don't know about it. If they don't know that you're planning to poke out our eye, our right eye, or to erase from the Torah, then it's not going to be a disgrace, because they say, "Oh, we didn't know about it. It was done secretly. That's why we didn't do anything about it." But if we send out messengers to all the Jews all over Israel and we tell them what is about to happen, and still nobody saves us, then it's going to be, like you said, a true disgrace to all the Jewish people. Until everybody knows about it, it's not a real disgrace like you want it to be. So they're trying to buy some time, to buy 7 days until he actually comes out and attacks the people of Yavesh Gilad. Pasuk Dav continues, V'avayo Malachim Giva Shol. The messengers come over to Gibeah Shaul, which is where Shaul HaMelech was living. They tell the Jews of Gibeah Shaul what happened, the proposition of Nachash HaAmoni. And all the Jews hear about it, and what do? They start crying, they start bawling, and they don't know what to do. They're heartbroken, they feel terrible. Now what happens? Shaul is now coming after the cattle from the field. Why is everybody crying? Now this is the difference between someone who's the leader and someone who's not. We are now seeing a very clear difference, and we see what makes a leader into who he is. A general, a regular guy, a commoner, when he hears disturbing news, someone is trying to take over, to attack them, what does he do? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's horrible. What does a leader do? A leader has the power to, when he hears something like this, it doesn't turn him off, it doesn't make him depressed and sad. It turns him on. It makes him strong. It makes him powerful. It empowers him, and it gives him the feeling, I'm going to defeat my enemy. I'm going to go about it. I'm going to take them up head on, and I'm going to do everything in my power to defeat them. I'm not terrified. I'm not scared. And that's exactly what Shaul did over here. What Pasuk Vav tells us, "Matitzach ruach alekim al Shaul, meshomayis advarim ele, fayichar apayim oit." The wind of Hashem, the Ruach HaKodesh, the divine providence came onto Shaul and empowered him, gave him the feeling of, I can do this. I'm going to defeat my enemy no matter what it takes. And his wrath flared. He was furious at them. He took two cows, he cut them up into pieces. He sent out these pieces of the cattle that he cut up to all the Jews in Israel, and he told them, anyone who does not follow us in war, together with me and Shmuel, this is what will be done to his cattle. The fear of Hashem fell on the Jewish people, and they all went out to war as one. Now, the Malbim explains over here, what was Shmuel doing when he was cutting up the cattle? What was he trying to tell them? So he says, the Malbim explains, that it was really a mashal, it was a parable that he was giving them. Just like, if you take a human being and you cut him up into pieces, obviously, he will not be alive anymore. So too, the nation. If the Jewish people all scatter out and they break up into small groups, then the livelihood, the life force of the Jewish people will be gone. What we have to do, if we want to be alive, if we want to be succeed in defeating our enemy, we have to come together as one, and that will give us the power to overcome this battle that we are facing against Nachash HaAmoni. And that's why he's cutting up the cattle to show them, just like the cattle, when I cut it up, obviously the cow dies. So too, if you spread up into a small group and say, oh, we can't do this, it's too much for us, we're sad, we're depressed, if you all go to your homes and do nothing, then the life force of the Jewish people will be lost. You have to come together as one, and that's exactly what the Jewish people did. They got together as one to go and fight Yavish Nachash HaAmoni and save the people of Yavash Gilad. Vayifkadem bevozek, he counts either two pshatim, either he counted them in a place called Bozek, or what happened was he counted them using Bozek, which is either stones or cheres, and that's how he counted them. Vayu v'nei Yisrael shloshim elef, v'ish Yehuda shloshim elef. The Jewish people were 300,000, and the people of Yehuda were 30,000. Perfect test continues. The messengers were sent to the people of Yavesh Gilad who are being attacked by Nachash HaAmoni, and they told them, tomorrow you will be redeemed from Nachash HaAmoni by the heat of the day, which means the middle of the day, the time where the heat is the strongest. And when the people of Yavesh Gilad heard this, they were very happy. Now, the people of Yavesh Gilad were very crafty. They went ahead and told Nachash HaAmoni, you know what? No one is coming to save us. Tomorrow we're going to come over to you and you can do whatever you want to us. We'll be your slaves. You can poke out our eyes, whatever it is. Right? They didn't tell him that the Jewish people are planning to regroup and attack you. That way, Nachash HaAmoni will be taken by surprise. His guard will be down. And there will be a much better chance to defeat him. Pasuk Aleph says, Vayimi Macharas, the next day, Vayasim Shaul Esa'am Shleish HaRashim, Shaul divides the people into three groups. Havayavay Basay Chamachan and Bashamari Sabaker. They attack the group, the Machane, the camp of Nachash, early in the morning. They defeated the army of Ammon completely, to the extent where they were running away. They were running away, scattered all over the field, and there were not two of them together. Everyone ran to a different direction by himself. Pasuk Beis, Vayomer HaMelech El Shmuel, Mi Omer Shaul Imochaleinu Tnu Anashim Unemisim. Now the people, the Jewish people, realize that they have a real leader amongst them. They realize Shaul was the real king. He was the one who actually saved them from Nachash HaAmoni. And they say, who are those who said that Shaul should not be the king? Bring us those people and we're going to kill them on the spot. Vayomer Shaul Lo Yumas Ish Bayim Hazeh. No one will die in this day. It's a machlokes among the Mefarshim. Either he meant really no one will die at all, or what he really meant was no one will die on this day. Today no one's going to die, but afterwards I'm gonna punish them because they rebelled against the king. Murd b'malchus, anyone who rebels against the king deserves to die. He gets a death penalty. K'ayoyim osa Hashem tshuva b'Yisrael. Today, Hashem brought salvation to the Jewish nation, and therefore today is not a day where we're supposed to kill anyone. Vayomer Shmuel el ha'am, l'chu b'nelcha Gilgal. Let's go back to the place called the Gilgal, v'nechadesh sham ha'melucha. We shall renew the melucha, the melucha of Shaul. V'yelchu kol ha'am ha'Gilgal. All the Jewish people now go over to the Gilgal. Vayimlichu sham et Shaul lifnei Hashem beGilgal. Vayitbachu sham zvachim shlomi lifnei Hashem. Vayitbach sham Shaul v'chol anshei Yisrael ad moed. Now there, everyone, all the Jewish people are accepting Shaul to be the king, and there is no one that right now that is not accepting Shaul to be king. And they did a big party, and they were all happy. Okay, we still have some more time, so I think we'll continue to the next parak. Parak in base. Vayomer Shmuel al kol Yisrael. Right now, in this paragraph, Shmuel is going to go ahead and give rebuke to the Jewish people for wanting a king. See, until now, he didn't tell them that they're doing anything wrong. He warned them what's going to happen. Yeah, if you want a king, this is what's going to happen. It's not going to be a good, but if you want a king, then I'll give you a king. Only now, after he made Shaul into king, he appointed him as king, now he's rebuking them and telling them what a wrong thing they did by asking for a king. Why did he do it now? Why didn't he do it before? So the Mefarshim explained that once the people are driven by this thought, they need a king, whatever the reasoning is, because they want to be like the other nations, or because they want someone who's going to lead them in war, whatever the reason is, once a person is engulfed in that mindset, nothing you will do, even if you try to rebuke them at that state, they're not going to accept it. You have to give them what they want so they can, so to speak, get it out of their system. And only once you do that will they be open to listen to what they have done wrong. So now that he's giving them a king, that's when he's going ahead and telling them, listen, this is the wrong thing you did, and I want you to know that. Another reason is also because if you would tell them, oh, it's the wrong thing, they might say, oh, you know why you think it's the right thing, wrong thing? Because you can't appoint a king. You don't want a king, or you don't have the ability to appoint a king. And so first, Shmuel is proving to them that he could do it, if he wants to. And now that he did it, he's telling them that it was the wrong thing. Pasuk Beis continues, Ve'ato, hine ha-melech misalach lifnechem. I now gave you the king. He's walking amongst you, just like you asked. V'ani zakanti v'savti uvana inam itchem. I am old already. V'ani salachti lifnechem min urai adayem azeh. I was serving you, the Jewish people, since I was a little kid up until today. Now, he wasn't exactly that old. Chazal say that he was only 52 years old. Right? Not that old. But still, he's telling them that all the years that I served you, I became very, very old. Hineni anu vi neged Hashem v'neged Mashichoi. I want you to answer me and tell me. Shor mi lakachti, v'chamor mi lakachti, v'smi ashakti, v'smi ratzaisi, v'miad mi lakachti koifer, v'alim einai voi v'oshuv lachem. Which ox did I take? Which donkey did I use? Who did I steal from? Either b'oines or b'ratzon. Did I force anyone to give me something, or did I convince anyone to willingly give me something, either money or possessions? If I took anything from you, you could speak up right now. Now is the time. Now is your opportunity. Tell me if there's anything I did wrong, or stole anything from you, and I will give it back right away. The Jewish people are answering him and telling him, no, you didn't take us anything from us. You did not take anything from anyone. Now Shmuel is saying, I want not only you, but I want Hashem himself to be a witness and to testify that I did not take or steal anything from you. We'll see in a minute how Hashem will testify and show that what Shmuel is saying right now is true. Pasuk Vav continues, Vayomer Shmuel Elohim, Hashem asher osa esmoishe v'esaren v'asher he'elo, esavisechem eret v'tzrayim. Hashem, who brought you Moshe and Aaron and brought you all the way from Mitzrayim, meaning he was the one to save you. He brought forth the 10 plagues in Mitzrayim. He brought the Nisim on Kriyas Yamsuf. He was the one who took care of you, saved you all these years throughout the whole Jewish history. And what are you doing right now? Instead of being grateful and recognizing that Hashem is your true king, what are you doing? You're asking for a different king. You want someone else to go ahead and lead you in war instead of Hashem. Hashem was doing that until now. Now you're asking for someone else. Pasuk Zayin, Va'ato isyatzvu v'shofto eschem lifnei Hashem, eskot tzidkos Hashem asher osa itchem v'es aviseichem. I will now judge you for everything you have done to Hashem and that your forefathers have done to Hashem. We're going to go through the relationship between you and Hashem right now. Kasher bo Yaakov Mitzrayim v'izaku aviseichem el Hashem, v'yishlach Hashem es Moshe v'es Aaron v'yitzivu es aviseichem v'mitzrayim v'yishivum b'makom hazeh. Hashem sent you, Moshe and Aaron, to redeem you out of Egypt, out of Mitzrayim, and they brought you all the way to Eretz Yisrael, to this place. Hashem, you forgot about Hashem. What happens when you forgot about Hashem? Hashem gave you over. He says, you want to be on your own? You think you're so strong and mighty? Let's see. Hashem will leave you to your own devices and see exactly what's going to happen. So what happened? Obviously, we were taken control by Sisra, the general of Chatzar, and the hands of Plishtim, and the king of Moab. And they fought you and ruled over you for many years. Now, when you're in deep trouble, now you remember, oh yeah, we actually do have a God, we do have Hashem. And now they're crying out to Hashem and saying, oh Hashem, please save us from these people who are controlling and ruling over us. And we want to now worship you and get rid of all the Avodah Zarah, the Baalim, and the Ashtaroth. And we want to be only with you. Vayishlach Hashem is Yerubal Vesbedan. Yerubal actually was the Navi who got rid of the Baal. And that's why his name is Yerubal. And Bedan Vesiftach and Shmuel, I sent you all of these Navim to save you from all these from all these enemies that were controlling you for many years. These generals and these prophets saved you. They got rid of all the Avodah Zarahs, and they saved you from all your enemies, and you are now sitting in comfort and protection in the land of Israel. Now, when you saw that the king Nachash is now attacking you, what are you asking for? You're asking for a king who will lead you at war. But you didn't realize that your true king is really Hashem. That's what you should have realized. Look at all the history and see everything that Hashem has done for you until now, and you should have realized that Hashem is your king. But you didn't open up your eyes, and you were asking for a different king, and this is what you get. Now I'm giving you exactly what you asked for, even though it's the wrong thing, but here you go, have it as you may, this is the king that you asked for. If you fear Hashem and worship Him the right way, listen to Him, you don't go against the word of Hashem, and both you and your king that you chose will follow in the way of Hashem. Then you can still keep the relationship with Hashem, and Hashem will take care of you. Make sure that you defeat your enemies, and everything will be good. If you do not listen to Hashem, you go against the word of Hashem, the hand of Hashem will be against you and your forefathers, and you will suffer. You will go again back to your enemies. They will control you once more.
Then the king won't help you.
Right, no one will help you. Hashem is basically telling him.
That's the main thing, that king's not going to help you.
Right. That's the point. Your true king is Hashem. And if you follow Hashem and your king follows Hashem, then you will be redeemed. You will be saved. But if your king does not follow Hashem, the king is just a figure, right? That I'm just giving you what you asked for. But he's not your real king. He doesn't have the power to control your fate in any way. Now I want you to witness this this powerful episode that will happen right in front of your eyes. Right now is the time of the harvest. Now you will see that Hashem will bring rain at the time of the harvest, which is a bad sign. It's a siman klala. And you will now see what a bad thing you have done by asking a king. So the Malbim says that don't think that, oh, just because Hashem gave you a king, it must mean it's a good thing. No, it's not true. Hashem can bring forth bad things as well. Even rain, which is usually a good thing. But if Hashem brings it at the wrong time, it's the time of the harvest, it's a siman klala. It's a bad thing. It's a bad sign.
Pesach time.
Right, Pesach time. So too, just because Hashem gave you a king doesn't mean necessarily that it's a good thing. The Radak goes even deeper, and he says that don't think that Yeah, the Radak explains that the fact that you were asking for a king is a bad thing. And just like right now, you're going to witness a rain at the time of Ketzir Chitim, which is the time of the harvest, so too, this is a sign to show you that asking for a king was also a bad thing. Vayikra Shmuel el Hashem, Vayitan Hashem koel l'samotar b'yamahu. Shmuel now cries out to Hashem and asks for rain on that day, even though it's not the natural time to have rain. Vayikra l'amoy, that's Hashem as Shmuel. Now the Jewish people are fearing Hashem, and they are terrified because they realize that they had asked for the wrong thing. Now they realize they had done the wrong thing by asking for a king, and they're diving to Shmuel, please beg for mercy from Hashem and ask him to stop the rain, because they realize that if they don't have a good relationship with Hashem, then it's all lost. Everything is lost, and they're now begging Shmuel to be the intermediate, the one to connect them to Hashem and restore the relationship that they had with Hashem. It's true, you've done the wrong thing. You've asked for a king, which is the wrong thing, but you still have a chance. It's not like all is lost. You can still ask Hashem and restore your relationship with Hashem by doing the right thing and following the words of Hashem, and then your relationship will be restored again. Right? Don't worry about this rain, and it seems like a bad sign. It's nothing really to it. Right? It's obviously Hashem who's behind it, and if Hashem wants it to be for the good, it's going to be for the good.
If it rains when you're harvesting, everything rots.
Right, naturally. Yeah. That's the way it is. But it doesn't have to be like that. It all depends on you, right? It's not the forces of nature. It's not other forces that they're not strong enough to control what's actually going to happen. It's all Hashem. And if Hashem decides that that something bad is going to happen, then something bad is going to happen. Otherwise, if you do the right thing and you have a good relationship with Hashem, then nothing bad is going to happen.
It says in Shemar also.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Observe the mitzvahs, you'll have the rain in the Yerah Malkush, the heavy rain, light rain,
right,
and it's time.
Yeah, all the right time.
If it happens in the wrong time, you're out of business.
Right, right, exactly.
It's a famine.
Yeah, yeah. Hashem will not leave you, and if you really want to do the right thing and you follow in the path of Hashem, Hashem will help you again, and there will not be a famine, even though it's raining now. Even though you went against me, and you wanted to replace me with a king, I will still go ahead and daven for you from Hashem and ask him to stop the rain, and I will again lead you in the right path to Hashem. However, you have to make sure to fear Hashem, to follow in the right path. You have to realize everything that Hashem has done for you up until this day. If you go on the wrong path, if you do bad, both you and your king will be punished. Okay, we're going to stop here and continue next week. We'll see how the beginning of the kingdom of Shaul starts off.